as we approach Christmas. We have certain songs that we sing and selected scriptures that we read and study. It's just what we do. But I have not seen too many opportunities to set the scriptures that we read inside the songs that we sing, so that you can look at them, how they work together to draw our attention to Jesus. God is a bond. Our Savior comes up. Once we get into this adventure, scriptures and music that sings words and melodies that point, that yearns forward toward God's promise of his existence. Almost immediately after that first story, God has promised. He went forward with his promise to his moving among his many people that they might find home. We're going to continue that, and we will visit with a young couple who is camping out in an animal shelter a long way away from home and family. He's been bringing a child into the world. Is that a new story to most of us? And maybe this morning I can help you see it in a different way that you might hear it other than what you're used to hearing. But let's begin with reading in Luke chapter 2. I'll begin at verse 1 if you have your Bible, you can turn there and follow along. And if you have a different translation to the NIV, that would be helpful for you because you can see some of the different words that are used to capture those original Greek words that we started. Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. And when they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And the angels were brought them and brought them to heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried up and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And as they heard it, they were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondered them in their hearts. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, if we listen like Mary and the shepherds, we could never do the same thing. These words are one truth. And as I was thinking about how to think through this passage this morning, as I read it and read it and reread it and reread it and read it in different translations, I kept seeing the same thing. I saw a four-act question, if you will. Verses 1 to 7, we have this out of town book. In verses 8 to 14, we have the shepherds and the angels. In verses 15 and 18, we have the shepherds going and telling. And in verses 19 and 20, we have the glimpse of Mary. Let me walk through this plan with you last week as it's unfolding here for us. We have Act 1, the out of town book. We have Bethlehem, cells, if you will, this wireless room, animatized and garbled voices. And then the narrator's voice over, if you will. God moves. Now that he is surrounded. But God moves and Caesar needed more power. And the census was enough. And the young family was forced to come. After the pictures of the angels, the background sounds would be this bowing of feet, separate, muffled voices of the Holy Spirit. And again, there would be a voiceover. The shepherd shouts, cries of the Lord, breaks the stillness of the night, and glorious angels fill the sky. The background sounds would be continuing with the bowing of the feet, but they would become more and more distant. And the shepherds count across the hillside on their way to find the Messiah. And one of the shepherds yelling over his shoulder, "Come on, everyone, let's go see this thing we heard about. Stick it, leave it, or leave you behind." This quiet heart, the young girl's voice. Yes, sing it, she holds the sun. And the narrator's voiceover. Mary continued to ponder the angelic visitation, their long cross-country journey, and the recent shepherd's dropping. They could have a smell. But they seemed so excited. Can you picture that? A four-part play? Or perhaps maybe you sat where you sat and watched one on the platform, or a platform like this. We try everything in our possible thinking to help us visualize that we might embrace the story that's coming to us. But Luke's words, they're not a dramatic presentation. This is history. This is how it happened, right there in Bethlehem. And this morning, as we continue our sermon series, we're looking at songwriters, songwriters that we take for granted, and two of them this morning, Sears and Willis, responsible for the same upon Midnight Prayer, Moore and Gruber, who were responsible for Silent Night Holy. They had read this story. They had pondered these words. And perhaps maybe with the shepherd, maybe coming with me. And they knew the text. And they became the lyrics for it. Listen to the words they probably focused on. Again, in Luke 2, beginning of verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in an manger, because there was no guest room available for him. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone upon them. They were satisfied. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." And as we think about what was going on there, it was into the cacophony and chaos of daily life. It was against the pressures and fears that were being experienced that these angels offered good news. The child. And that's your own child, Jesus. When you read the beginning of the Bible, Genesis, we find that God has created a paradise. And into that paradise, he has created and settled and instructed the first couple, only to watch them stumble over temptation as they chose to eat the forbidden fruit. And isn't that just like us? The one thing we're told not to do, the one thing we're told not to eat, isn't that what our hand reaches for? In spite of what you may want to think of yourself, in spite of what I think about myself, we're more like them than we want to be. As we bumble and stumble our way through our daily lives, as we nibble at and play with the things that are forbidden, allowing sin to stain our hearts and our lives and to build walls between us and God and each other. and sin build walls between ourselves and ourselves. We don't even know who we are. And so, out of that moment in the garden, God spoke the future. Only God can do that perfectly. But He spoke the future. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we read these words. And these were the words that were spoken to the serpent. There is an enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and he will strike his heel. And in these brief words that God pointed toward his son in the flesh, and he pointed toward a cross on the hill, and he pointed toward an empty tomb. You see, the mess that we've made is right. Needed this Jesus, this cross, this empty tomb to make right what you've left out. And the backdrop to all of this, to the garden, to Jesus, to our songwriter, for you and me today, is life, broken life. You can think of the life outside of the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve ended up because of sin. We can think of life in the first century outside, where Jesus was drafted by only one. We can think of life in our own homes. We can think of life as a report of the easy gifts. But I can tell you when I'm listening to the news, that I cry hard, I cry very hard not to miss good stuff. Stories of people who are going to their way and sacrificially giving to feed people who are hungry. Advances that are being made against diseases that ravage human bodies. Young people serving the elders. Athletes. Sponsor. Global stuff. All this stuff. And I find myself not to miss this as it becomes part of the news. But I find myself tripping over the mess. The strong, crushing the weak. Creating greater levels of poverty. Countries binding one another. People harming one another. These are painful things to listen to. They're painful things to see the images of. And these bad behaviors, most of them are painful. But it's not the future that God has spoken was in God. A young pregnant couple had traveled mountainous terrain to pay a tax to the greedy tyrant. And while they were there, they birthed the Son of God, Jesus. And the angels winged their way home to a hillside flock of sheep with some snow and cows, the low heaven of the Father, to inspire the lowly to become the dead. God didn't go to the seminary. God didn't go to the educated. He went to the Lord. Listen to the words in Luke 2, beginning verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth." But that would be normal to take wrapped babies in cloth, just a cloth, to keep them safe. But he would be lying in a manger. That was a little weird. They felt they had a sign from God for what they were looking for. And so as we think about these words, we look at good news. Good news? God has followed through with the promise that he had made in the garden. And in the moment of that first sin, you know how easy it is to go from one sin to two or three? And that's what they did. This couple in the garden, they had choked before God, and they had nothing together, not quite true. To create excuses for what has happened. But God had leaned closer. He had leaned closer with mercy and grace. He spoke ahead to Jesus' history, that is, it's his story. That is heard and awakened, the musical hummus of modern songs. Tears and lips that came upon the midday clear, more than rumor, following them, home. And they went, weaving their words and their melodies into songs that continue to touch on us all these years later, that continue to move us to lean into the story. It's a story we can't set aside. It's a story we don't want to not revisit. It's a story. But not just a story. As I keep saying, it's history. God came near as one of us, that God might stand in our place as he served God's Genesis promise. I will come. Shall we say it earlier? It came upon the midnight king. The scripture of Christ, the angels and the shepherds, coming and receiving the good news, peace, have been born in Bethlehem. It came upon the midnight prayer. Is an 1849 poem and Christmas carol written by Pastor Edmund Pierce. And it was set to tell, that's the name of the piece, it was set to tell, a tune by Richard Willis in 1850. And it was performed with the backdrop of the war that were ravaging the world at that time. And while he sang, my heart was quivering, and perhaps yours was, knowing the mess that our world is in, we're singing about peace. There are wars. There are threats of war. It's in the news almost daily. It's going to heaven. It's here as well. They invite us to the words of their song. They invite us to lean into the hope that we find in the story, the history of Jesus. Hope, peace, on the earth. Let's read together the words of the first verse of this song. Let's read together. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of joy, and angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, and heaven's all gracious king. The world in silence still is well to hear the angels sing. These words bring or usher or announce the peace that God has promised, and he has promised it since the first sin. Now, the other verses in this particular text touch or speak to heaven's music touching a weary world. It touches the idea of people's trust of the weight of daily living, and it touches the idea of the song of hope that the angels brought with them. The words that they announced literally birthed hope in the people of the earth. In a few minutes, as we end today, we will sing Silent Night, Holy Night. It almost feels like a lullaby for the newborn baby Jesus. And it is a song deeply steeped in hope for you and me as we lean toward the God who promises peace. Franz Gruber composed the melody in 1818 to accompany the 1816 war of Joseph Moore. And he told the story teller that it was first sung on Christmas Eve by two men accompanied by the poem. Again, let's read these words together. Silent night, holy night, all is coming, all is burning. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Even saying that, come on. Two beautiful pieces of music. Old pieces of music, and yet they still minister to our hearts as we come before the Lord, as we gather as a people, as we remember and reflect upon the world wherein we live today. Music ministers to us. Now, most of you know that sort of helps your life love Christmas. And it's not just a cookie, but for many of us, it's really good. But I love the enticing message of hope that the angels brought to the shepherds. I admire the fact that those words continue to speak to you and me. We read in verse 11, today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, and Lord, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. I am fascinated by the angels' questions. I have a question of them in my office and in my home, and the channel has to find new flat spaces to set up the new ones I buy every year. And I want them around all year round because they remind me of the promise of peace that God has made possible through His Son Jesus. And I don't want Jesus to detach from His leaving heaven and coming to earth, and I don't want Jesus to detach from His dying and being buried and rising. But He's in His presence, keep that in mind. If we think about this scene that we're looking at this morning, a family arrived at the manger in Bethlehem. The shepherd found the child, God's offspring, who had been sent to crush Satan's head. To crush Satan. To set us free. And we might have images of the Christmas story that we like to hold to, but this morning I want us to recognize that in the story, in the history, in the unpacking of Jesus come to earth, is the promise of hope and peace. That God depends on us to live our lives leaning toward Him, and as we look toward the day where He will come and follow us and rescue us. But these theologically sound musical pieces, they talk about hope, and not just to hope for more, but to trust, to lean into trust for real peace. It can happen, it will happen. Peace will prevail. And that is the promise that we have. Christmas is the promise that we sung and we will sing in these songs this morning. In the garden, God spoke into the future, opening our minds and our hearts to the idea of life beyond sin, to a harvest that is not yet ours. In the manger of Bethlehem, a virgin gave birth to a son, and they named him Jesus, the eternal Son of God, God in He would announce the kingdom. He would prepare a team to plant seeds, soul seeds, that would yield a harvest, a spiritual harvest, of which you and I are the newest fruit. Pagan seed that could be implanted in others around us. And in our lives, mine, yours, as we give Jesus access to our hearts, we are finding that what He lived 2,000 years ago now is alive and evident in our daily lives. Asking Jesus to be our Savior is not the end of the matter, but rather it is the beginning. It is the beginning of amazing adventures with Jesus. It's the beginning of amazing adventures for Jesus.